World leaders try again to get a handle on Europe's debt crisis.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. U.S. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is in Poland this morning at a meeting with European finance ministers trying to boost confidence in Europe and its financial system. The news so far is that we'll have to wait until October to find out if Greece will get its next round of bailout money. For more on this, let's bring in Mark Cliff. He is chief economist with ING, and he's with us now from London. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I feel like there's a little deja vu quality to this. So we start the week talking about everyone losing confidence in Europe and its banking system. We end the week with a big meeting and all the leaders saying everything's going to be fine. Is it different this time?
Not really. No, unfortunately. I think we're going to see this saga running and running. There's a lot of ideas floating around, but there's not really a unity of purpose or indeed an agreement on precisely the way forward.
There's been a lot of talk about Greece potentially having to leave because it's pretty much just too much of a drag on the rest of Europe. Do you think that Europe is going to look the same a year from now as it does today?
I think that's pretty unlikely. Obviously, there's a lot of speculation about the inevitability of default in Greece and indeed the possibility of other countries defaulting and even some countries leaving the Eurozone entirely. I think we will probably see some kind of managed default at some point, but I think it's extremely unlikely that any country will be allowed to leave because the consequences are, extremely unpalatable. And I think in the end, the politicians will find some way of avoiding that. But this isn't going to happen quickly.
Mark Cliff is chief economist with ING. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Now to the world's biggest retailer, Walmart. When the company does something, even if it's as small as which brand of light bulbs it sells, changing that brand, it has huge implications. Well, now, as Marketplace's Eve Troe reports, Walmart is giving a solar energy company a boost.
Walmart sees renewable energy as a way to save money. Joel McCower at greenbiz.com says long-term contracts for solar power insulate Walmart from roller coaster prices on the grid.
They can lock in lower energy prices. They can predict their electricity costs years out from now.
Walmart's banking heavily on SolarCity, a company that uses emerging technology in thin solar film instead of traditional solar panels. Next week, SolarCity and Walmart will expand their partnership. Lawrence Gassman at Nano Markets says Walmart does take on risk by backing a newish technology, but it's a different kind of risk than government loans.
They make judgment calls based entirely on profit, whereas the government is trying to do some stuff which has to do with jobs, which is a much harder way to do investment.
SolarCity just landed a big loan guarantee from the government, $344 million, as part of a deal to put solar power on military housing. Gassman says the solar industry now attracts enough private money that the government guarantees are not essential, but federal subsidies are crucial for growth. I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up across Europe, up 0.7% right now in London. The Canadian company that makes BlackBerry smartphones says phone and tablet sales last quarter were far short of expectations. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 186 points to close at 11,433.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. And by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
We can blame a lot of things for contributing to the weakness of the housing market. Too many houses, too few jobs, banks that are unwilling to lend. But LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus says we should also blame the title insurance industry. David, good morning.
Good morning.
So first, explain what title insurance is.
Well, it's essentially a product that allows the lender to know that the property is yours, that there haven't been any changes in your life, there are no liens against the property, and the lender can then proceed with confidence that everything's on the up and up.
Okay, so what's the problem? How is title insurance holding us back from a healthy housing market?
Well, the problem is that a lot of people are refinancing within a relatively short space of time, oftentimes within a single year. And as a result, they're asking, well, wait a minute, why do I have to pay full freight again on the title insurance when somebody has checked these records just a few months ago?
So when you refinance your loan, you're having to pay for a brand new title insurance?
Exactly. Now, title insurance companies say this is fully fair because they can't know what has happened to your property even days after the last refi, and they have a good point there. On the other hand, we need to be a little reasonable about this. If a title company is doing a search of public records within a relatively short space of time, much of its work has already been done. And that's why title companies routinely will offer discounts of 20% or more for a second refi within a short space of time, because even they are conceding that it's not as hard to do this the second time around.
So what can people who have to dabble in the world of title insurance do?
Shop around. It turns out that the various title companies offer different rates for these services, often varying by hundreds of dollars. So make sure your mortgage broker or your real estate professional shops around for the best deal. And then if you are refinancing within a relatively short space of time, ask about the discounts. Oftentimes, title companies aren't very forward in saying, oh, yes, we'll provide the discounts unless you ask. So make sure your broker does that.
Thanks for giving us another thing to worry about, David.
Always here to help.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And finally, you know those surveys that tell us how much work time we lose to Facebook or Twitter or the NCAA basketball tournament? Well, there's a new one that says American companies lose $1.5 billion in productivity because employees are playing the game Angry Birds for 200 million minutes a day. Now, I'd like to see a survey about how much money these surveys are costing our economy and lost productivity. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Before you start calling people sellouts, remember, everybody's got to eat.
Artists love to create music and love to make money from their music. Everybody is a marketer.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the advertising sounds of Paul Simon. That story, the numbers from Wall Street and the day's business news. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.